I want to share a couple stories from the final week of my Save America March and just some kind of reflections on the experience. So anyway, I think it was the second or third to last day in Warren County, rural Warren County. Beautiful. I mean, everywhere I went, there's so much beauty in rural Iowa. You got to come and see it to believe it. Anyway, I'm walking along this gravel road, and there's a little stand. That's just a few feet wide, a few feet tall. And it's displaying eggs, peppers, pumpkins, cinnamon rolls, of course, and what else? Cookies. And, you know, I'm reading the sign about what's for sale and how much it costs and all that. There's nobody out there, just a little stand by itself on the side of the road. And a guy pulls up in a Jeep, and he knows the person who owns the stand. He has no idea who I am, but he says, "Hey, I had an injury earlier this year. I can't walk. Can you do me a favor and put this money in that pay here box and pull me out a dozen eggs?" Guy doesn't know me from Adam, and he knows the owner very well apparently, but. He asked me to do that for him. I said, "Sure, I can do that, of course." So I pull out a dozen eggs, and I hand that to him, put the money in the box, and we get to talking. And he tells me I tell him why I'm walking, and he has heard my name before, apparently. He tells me that he served in the Marines. He's got a son now. He's very proud of his son, who's doing a very similar line of work in the Marines that he did when he was that age. He's not a Trump fan at all, and he's particularly appalled about what's going on with the East Wing of the White House, the demolition of the of that significant chunk of the house to build Trump's ballroom. So you know, I share in some of the other concerns I have about the Trump administration regarding what I see as significant violations of the Constitution. And the guy agrees with me all across the board. He also tells me, you know, he farms a bit. He's got some soybeans, some corn. He's been doing a lot of that for many years. And he also tells me he's a gun owner. You know, he doesn't have these semi-automatic weapons, but he has guns and he keeps them safe. But he agrees with me 100% that violence is not the way to address our current predicament. He wants to see us address it peacefully, but he wants to see us fight. You know, and then as I'm leaving, he says, "But be careful about my neighbors." He says, "Be careful, just down the road there. You gotta watch out for them." I goes, "Why?" He goes, "Well, he's a friend of mine, okay? But he's a big Trump supporter." I says, "Okay. And he'll talk your ear off. He'll just talk your ear off." I says, "Why?" "I don't mind the conversation," I said, but he says, "Yeah, be careful of him." But it wasn't "be careful of him, he's a dangerous person." It's "be careful of him, he'll talk your ear off." Anyway, I actually was I was hoping the guy might be home, but I didn't find him home, so I missed that opportunity. But that was a very entertaining and enlightening conversation. The very last conversation I had on this march was walking from Norwalk to Des Moines. And a big chunk of that was along the bike trail. And I'm very familiar with this bike trail. I've been on it many times. And it goes through the Willow Creek Golf Course. And at one point, right on the trail, is a bench. It's a little kind of a stone bench. And I decided, I've sat there many times before when I was biking. And so I plopped down on that bench, as I always do when I take a break. I take my shoes off, give those little doggies a little break. I'm sitting there eating a banana. And this guy pulls up, and there were a lot of golfers. It's a beautiful day. Golfers everywhere. Place lousy with them. And then he pulls up and just kind of stops in front of me and looks at me. And I could tell he was kind of like, "What are you doing here?" That sort of thing. Maybe it was the shoes off. Maybe because I didn't have a bike. Maybe because I'm eating a banana. I don't know, but he looked very critical of me. "Well, yeah, what are you doing here?" he says. I says, "Well, I'm walking," I said. "Okay, where are you walking from?" He says, "Well, from Des Moines, 220 miles back to Des Moines." And he looks at me very suspiciously. But when I told him why I'm walking, I said, I'm walking to try to, you know, save our democracy. And I said, you know, I told him why I didn't think things were going very well. And I said, what do you think? Are we in trouble? He says, no. He says, everything's going fine. We're going in the right direction. And you know what? First person I've heard this entire trip who said everything's fine. Even the Cuban guy didn't think everything was fine. So I asked him what he thought of Trump violating the Constitution regarding judicial decisions, regarding decisions by the Congress to spend money, not spending it or redirecting it in contradiction to what the Constitution says is the role of Congress. And he says, no, oh, that's fine. There's nothing anti-constitutional about that. And I'm like confused as to how he can even say that. I ask him, well, what about blowing up ships in the Caribbean? What about blowing up boats? I mean, we could search those boats, board them, search them, find out for sure whether they're carrying drugs and present the evidence instead of blowing them up and in the process destroying the evidence. Well, he's fine with that as well. I bring up the issue of soybeans, which was the issue that I think many people I met along the way who were concerned about. He's kind of indifferent to that problem. And, you know, my impression, I don't like to make false assumptions about people, but you inevitably make some judgment. And the guy seemed to be very wealthy, very comfortable. And again, I know not everybody on the golf course is wealthy and comfortable, but this guy, he looked like he had that part. I mean, lots of confidence, you know, maybe in his late 40s, early 50s, I suppose. And as he's walking away to go tee off for the next hole, he turns around to me and says, hey, by the way, Trump is going to serve a third term, you know. And I said, well, that would definitely be a violation of the Constitution. He says, no, because it won't be because we're going to change the Constitution. And he says, then you can hear it from, you can say you heard it from me first. Well, actually, I haven't heard it from him first. I've heard it from Steve Bannon and other people, too. But I want to share that with you later. But, you know, I had to get the last word in, right? Of course I did. So as he's walking away, I yell out. I mean, not angrily. I just yell out so he can hear me because he's getting far away at that point. I said, hey, I want to thank you, by the way. You're the first person in 4 weeks and 220 miles of walking, first person I've met who didn't think the country was heading in the wrong direction. So thank you for that. the guy's name, he introduced himself. His name was Tom. You know, I get the strong feeling he's part of what we call the 1%. Anyway, I don't know. But to deny that there are constitutional violations going on, I mean, this isn't the first president to violate the Constitution. This isn't the first president to overdo the use of executive orders. But he's taking it to a whole new level. So, I'm glad the walk is over. I'm glad to be home. I miss my wonderful wife. I miss our plants, our animals, my piano. I miss all the things that I normally do. But, you know, I think I felt the sacrifice involved in this was worth it. And I do think it was worth it. It was great to have three people, Kathy being one of them. Three people join me for the final couple miles of the march. The other two were Sarah Spain, who was the logistics coordinator for three of the marches I've organized, and Miriam Kashia, who, of course, walked every step of the way with me and 50 other people, roughly, across the U.S. back in 2014. So also delighted that nine people came to Lua Brewing to kind of celebrate the end of the walk. I will say I was really, really disappointed in the mainstream media, but I should never be disappointed in them, and I should never be surprised. You know, They talk about democracy being in peril. I appreciate that. But when it comes to people actually doing something to address it, where are they? I tried to talk with our Des Moines Register and three TV stations three different times each. Crickets. Nothing. And I will point out, too, they also offer minimal coverage of the No Kings rally. They offer minimal coverage or no coverage of other actions as well. You know, they pretend or at least say they're concerned about where democracy is heading. But when it comes time to actually show what people are doing to try to respond to that threat, they ain't there. They aren't there. And that is the nature of the corporate media. So I will say the small town press, small towns I went through, a lot of them still had a newspaper. One of them had Afton, had a newspaper owned by a gal in that town. And she was, you know, she wasn't making any money doing it, but she wasn't losing money either. She was keeping it going. And good for her. Good for her. And good for the people in the other small towns that were keeping their newspapers alive and running. And thank you to them for taking the time to sit down and talk with me and to write stories about what I'm doing and why. So, you know, I think the march was worth it. You know, it was, I will say, I should have done a heck of a lot more advance work. For every minute you spend walking, there should be multiple minutes spent organizing the logistics around that walk. You know, people to walk with you, the press contacts, overnight stops, meetings, all that. There should have been much more involved with that. And I didn't have time. Anyway, note to self, make time next time. So, you know, next steps, I mean, I'm going to keep reaching out to people. You know, I really encourage everyone to do, they do not demonize, quote, the other side, because there is no other side. We are all in this together. And, you know, just if you have a habit, if you're inclined to want to say that all Trump people are dumb or all people on the left are loonies, whatever your choice of demeaning term is, don't do it. Reach out. And I tell you, I'm going to make, that's one thing I'm going to do in the aftermath of this march, is I'm going to, you know, connect with a whole bunch of Trump voters that I haven't seen or talked with for a while and get together for, quote, coffee or, quote, a beer. And, you know, just kind of catch up and see how they feel about the way things are going. And maybe I'll learn something from them as well. But I hope they can, you know, take my experience from this walk and maybe evaluate in their own point of view where we're heading and why it's a problem. Anyway, so, you know, I do think right now, to me, the most important thing that I can be doing, and maybe other people feel this as well, is to be putting a lot of time and effort into the upcoming election, the 2026 election. I mean, Trump has said before that, you know, you won't have to vote again after I'm in. And I worry about that. I really worry about that. And I see some of the things happening, and I worry that, yeah, we are headed toward the reality that we may lose our franchise. We may lose our ability to vote for the people we want to represent us.